Welcome to the Sustainability Café, the podcast of IMC Krems all about sustainability. In this podcast, we regularly talk to different people connected to the university, staff members, professors, students, and also external partners to learn more about their perspectives and points of contact with the topic. This is already the third season of our podcast. My name is Victoria Ingelmeier, and among other things, I'm responsible for gender diversity and sustainability. Welcome to a new episode of our podcast, and to another first in our podcast history. Today we are speaking with a student, Steve Wildmann. He's studying in our bachelor's program in sustainability management and therefore a perfect guest for this show. Welcome, Steve. Would you like to briefly introduce yourself?
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yes, as you said, I'm a student in the sustainability management program. I live in Vienna. I'm over 50. I'm married, have two children, and I program control systems for a living.
What's that?
Basically, I work with companies that do equipment for boardrooms, lecture halls, conference rooms. And usually you have a tablet on the wall or on the desk where you can control your projector, your sound, your lights, your blinds, heating, air conditioning, those kind of things. And so I program the hardware that runs these touch panels.
I see.
Yeah.
So, Steve, before you started the program, what did you think? Did you think sustainability was just about metal straws and tote bags, or what was it?
Yeah, to me, I think the term sustainability was more maybe in regards to recycling, maybe in regards to renewable energy. I think this is the context where I kind of came across that term. Yeah.
And was there something like a very big, oh, wow, we're really in trouble moment in your studies?
I think so. I think it's when we looked at the planetary boundaries. So basically, we've defined planetary boundaries where we look at how we as humanity are using up resources. These would be things like climate change or freshwater use or maybe land use change, which is also an important thing, be like deforestation, those kind of things. And so we've defined 9 planetary boundaries where we define sort of a safe space. We can say, okay, we can operate within this zone, and it's a sustainable way of living. And if we're above this zone, then we're exhausting the natural resources. And we'll at one point reach some kind of tipping point where possibly something catastrophic might happen, or there might be a development that's hard to reverse or maybe even irreversible. And the shocking thing is that out of those 9 planetary boundaries, we crossed 6 already. So we're not within the safe zone anymore. So sustainability really becomes a must, really becomes for any reasonable person a very important factor to consider, or to consider how do I live my life and how am I affecting all these things. Yeah. But I wasn't aware that we're at this point already using up so much of the planet. Yeah.
But is there a way of coming back into the safe zone?
Of course. Of course, there's ways to come back in the safe zone. And for a lot of these subjects, we already have solutions. We already have technology. We already have ways of just living in more harmony with the planet or living more sustainably. It's just a matter of taking the steps. It's just a matter of being aware, I think, number one. And then also being aware that as an individual, the little things we do in our lives do make a big difference. We sometimes think, oh, it's big problems and it needs big solutions and it needs politicians to change things, or it needs a lot of people. And somehow we forget that the little decisions we make on a day-to-day basis have a huge impact on our world and how we live. Yeah.
Would you like to give any suggestions here?
Yeah.
Or examples?
Yeah, examples. For myself, I really try to use public transport, for example, if at all possible. And then I think about what I buy. Is it really necessary to buy it? And then think about, okay, what do I buy? Am I buying something that I can use over a longer period of time? I think especially single-use items, very inexpensive items that have just become the trend also worldwide. Think about it. They're being used once or twice or three times, and then they're discarded. And as our program director always eloquently puts it, you can't throw things away because there is no away. And mm-hmm. all these things end up somewhere, maybe in the ocean, maybe in the ground. Maybe they're being burned and we have additional CO2 and other problems in the atmosphere. And so really thinking about what do I consume, what do I buy, I think makes a big difference even in individual people's lives. Yeah.
Speaking about your program director, he has told me that you have done something like a sustainability pledge.
Yes.
Would you like to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, indeed. Very personal. I was thinking about what to do. I'm a little bit of a coffee person, as a lot of people are. And I noticed that a lot of times I'm out and about. I'm traveling for work. I'm on the U-Bahn. And I pick up coffee to go. And I started, and I do this pretty much on a daily basis. To be honest, more than once daily. So there are bakeries and places in Vienna that are my friends and they know me because I I come there at least once a day. But I noticed that I'm constantly using paper cups and plastic lids. Mm-hmm. And I thought about this is really not okay. Paper cups, it's also a compound material with plastics and it's really not the best. You know, anything single use is really not the best. And so I pledged to remember to bring my, you know, reusable coffee cup and start not using disposable coffee cups. Yeah, that was my sustainability pledge. I know you're going to ask how it's going, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, sure. Of course I'm asking. Yeah, so how is it going?
It's going okay. It's going okay. I must admit there were a few times where I was tired. I really wanted coffee. I didn't have my cup. I bought coffee anyway, you know, and that's the question. Are you willing to punish yourself? Which really is then a learning step, you know, if I do, and then I think next time I'll remember to bring my cup. Yeah. Today, my wife said, oh, remember to bring your cup because it would be very embarrassing to go and do a sustainability podcast and not have your cup with you. So. Yeah.
Did you bring it?
For her. I did. I did bring my cup, yes.
So thanks.
But it's going well. I would say 90% of the time I bring the cup and I'm working towards 100%.
So also family support behind that.
Also family support, yeah. My family's good about that and they really support me, yeah.
What did your colleagues choose for their pledge? Just because I'm interested.
There was a really big variety. Mm-hmm. I mean, things you would never think of. There was a dear colleague of mine, also approximately my age. He said he wanted to buy chickens.
Okay.
Because then the chickens lay eggs and he can get the eggs directly. There was another guy who said he was going to install PV on his roof, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a big pledge. But there were quite a few pledges that had to do with what we eat, what we consume, because
yep.
that also has a big impact on the environment. And then also transportation, of course, was a big issue. And the third, I think those, there were three big issues, which was what we consume food-wise, transportation, and also what we wear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Clothing is a big subject, I think, in sustainability. Yeah.
And now you have to write some kind of diary on how it's going or?
We basically keep track on how it's going and there will be a paper due at one point with our experiences okay. and thoughts and yeah, how that went. Yes.
Perfect. What would you say is the most mind-blowing thing that you have learned so far in this program, apart from these planetary boundaries that you have already mentioned?
I think for me, it was how long the term sustainability has already been mm-hmm. part of the public discourse. You have a man in the 18th century, Hans Karl von Carlowitz, and he was in charge of silver mining or had an important job in silver mining in his region, which is in today's Eastern Germany. And he noticed that trees were just being cut down at a scale where nature could just not regenerate mm-hmm. and that whole forests were lost. And so he wrote a book actually specifically about forestry and about renewable resources such as wood. And he talked about the term sustainability. If I'm not wrong, I think this was in the year 1712, 1713, roundabout. And so for me, I did not know that it was already in the public discourse, but so much pushed aside
yeah.
over the centuries and over the decades. Personally, for me, the term sustainability was really something I was aware of maybe the last decade or two.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that it's now more in the public discourse because it needs to be. It's a shame it took so long. And now we're at a point where it's just really absolutely necessary. to think about and to consider. Yeah. So I think that was for me the most mind-blowing one. This has been around for, you know, 300 years and we're barely hearing about it now, you know.
Because you always have the impression it was just something new.
Exactly.
That, something that they picked up in media, for example.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's like way longer there.
Yeah.
But still shocking that it did not, that nothing more has happened so far.
It's true. You know, I grew up in this generation. I'm a child of the 70s. And, you know, back then, it wasn't that much of a subject. It was just about progress and speed and you know, different other priorities.
Yeah.
There was a little bit. I remember as a child, there was this poem that talked about when, you know, the last river has been polluted and the last fish has died. People will realize that you can't eat money. And that kind of did stick with me all mm-hmm. through my life and maybe helped me a little bit guide me with some of my decisions. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the fun thing is that whenever I talk to colleagues, for example, in this podcast, I usually ask them, when was the first time when you really actively thought about sustainability? Either because you have heard the term or because now as you're older, you understand that it was about sustainability. And a lot of people tell me that they grew up on the land side, for example, or they had some kind of forest or animals or anything at home. So I think that a lot of people did get into contact with sustainability issues.
Right.
But still there's so little happening.
Right.
So that's really interesting to me.
It is, yeah, it is. And I think maybe some of it has to do with the fact that we sometimes think, oh, my small personal decision of taking the bus, taking the train versus taking the car doesn't make that big of a difference, but it really does at the end of the day.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. But I also think that it needs powerful laws, for example.
Yeah.
And like really strict regulations and punishments.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think I agree with you. I mean, you know, humanity's greed has to be regulated. You cannot say, oh, you know, things will self-regulate and people will just wisen up when they see the cost. I think we will see as humanity the cost and consequences clearly once it's too late. And I don't think we want that. And so therefore, I agree with you that regulations just are necessary. They're sometimes uncomfortable, but they are necessary. But I think also, and this is part of what we're doing, so it's exciting what we're doing. I think hand in hand with regulations, we also need information or inspiration for people. And I think this is why it's so important what you do and that we have podcasts about these subjects and we get people thinking, you know, about these subjects. Yeah.
So if you had unlimited power for a day, what's the first sustainability law you would pass?
That's a good question. I think, you know, for me, what really hurts is, like I mentioned, all the single-use items because it's just so unnecessary.
Yeah.
So I would really maybe try to do something about the proliferation of single-use fashion. Single-use batteries come to mind. You know, you buy a single-use battery, pack of 4 or 5 euros, okay? And then you can buy batteries, you can recharge up to 1,000 times and it's 15 euros. Even economically, it makes sense. And then it begs the question, why do we still even sell, you know, the single-use batteries? They're all problematic materials. Where do they end up? How do we get rid of them? People think, oh, you know, they're being recycled. But it's really not that easy. You know, the technology, the energy, you need to recycle those things. The waste products you end up with, it's just not ideal, you know.
I had to smile when you said that it's meaningful in an economical way, because sometimes you would have the impression that it's either sustainable or it makes sense in economical terms.
Right.
But that's not true, isn't it?
It's not true. You know, sometimes it feels that way. Oh, but in the end, it's worth it, you know? And people ask me about this. People ask me, oh, you study sustainability. Here's the number one question I get, you wouldn't believe. The number one question I get is it true that companies manufacture washing machines so they break quickly? This is the number one question I get. And then I'm like, well, it has to do with the price of the washing machine. You know, if you want a very low price, then we have to expect that there's been a lot of corners cut. there's been the whole thing has been engineered to be as economical, as cheap as possible. And if you buy a product like that, then you have to expect for it to break soon. If you spend a little bit more, you're going to have something that will last, you know, for decades. And in the end, if you look at it this way, then it's also economically worth it. I think a lot of people think, you know, oh, it's going to cost more. And maybe sometimes it does to start with. But a lot of times it pays off. And sometimes, okay, maybe it's not the economically better choice, but still it's worth it, you know, because it's just important. It's important. Yeah. There are some examples that come to mind where the more sustainable way is a bit more expensive. But in the end, we have to ask ourselves, you know, which way do we want to go, and all the associated costs.
Yeah. And I would also add that probably it costs more for one person. But if you look at the consequences for your children or grandchildren.
Exactly.
I mean, at the latest, at that point, it would pay off, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. And that brings us back to the discussion of, do I have to buy everything? Do I have to have a drill at home, a battery powered drill, or can I share with my neighbor?
Yeah.
You know, these are really some of the very simple things, and that's economical. Okay, now only one person has to buy a drill, and we both use it, and we're both better off, cheaper off, and we waste less stuff, you know, and
you have some nice chats with your neighbor.
And you get to know your neighbor, exactly, who you hopefully like, yes.
So do you feel like a sustainability superhero because you're studying sustainability management here?
No, I wouldn't say so. No, not at this point. But
Next year.
I don't know if I'll ever feel that way, but I do hope that I, you know, gain some knowledge on the subject and some experience, and yeah, and I'm able to apply that and maybe pass it on to other people. This is really one of my goals in life. Yeah.
So coming back to the number one question that you get asked, it's not on purpose, isn't it?
It's not on purpose. It's just it's just an effect of trying to build it cheaply. Yes.
Okay. Okay, now super weird question.
Okay.
Be aware. If your program would be a movie, what would its tagline be?
I would say you can make a difference. Because this is what we sometimes forget. And you have all categories of people, but I think a lot of people just try to even push away the subject because they feel overwhelmed. You mentioned my family. My daughter, bless her, she's very empathetic. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes she doesn't even want to talk about these type of subjects because she feels overwhelmed.
I totally understand that.
Yeah. And so I think there are some people out there who don't deal with this issue, not because they're mean people, not because they're ignorant, not because they don't care, but because they're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But what I would encourage, and this is why I would wish for this tagline, you can make a difference. Small things you do can make a difference. Bringing a reusable cup can make a difference. Getting on the train can make a difference. Not buying the drill, but sharing with a neighbor can make a difference. Spending a bit more on a washing machine that lasts a couple of decades will make a difference. And so this is why.
So yeah. Focusing on small steps as well.
Focusing on small steps as well. I think this is important. This is where everyone can start. And I'm glad for people who get more involved, dive in deeper, get into politics, get into regulations, change things maybe in businesses and institutions so they go better, but everyone will make a difference if they take small steps. Yeah.
So talking about future, I'm of course also interested in your future plans. Do you already have some plans what you would like to do after the program?
Yeah, like I mentioned, I would really like to gain a lot of knowledge, gain a lot of experience, and I would really like to pass that knowledge on and maybe inspire young people. I'm over 50. But I would like to inspire maybe young people, the next generation, if you will, just to live their lives in a better way than maybe we did in the 70s and 80s, and just consider all these important things and just, like I said, pass that knowledge on. Yeah, that would be my dream in whatever context that might be. Maybe it's in a company where we look at sustainability. Maybe it's in a nonprofit where we actually teach on those subjects. Maybe it's going to school. I don't know. But this would be my dream. Yeah. So if you ask what I'd like to do with it, this is what I'd like to do with it.
I would love to have you as a teacher.
Thank you.
Great. Do you have like an advice you'd give on to new students who think that sustainability isn't just a trend, but is also important to them?
Yeah, I would definitely say, I would definitely encourage that thought. Sustainability is not a trend. Sustainability is necessary. What really always helps me when I, especially when I talk to people who are a little bit suspicious or not so convinced or think this is just a trend or think this is just a political opinion or think, you know, some people just overdo it. The point I like to bring up is in my lifetime, the population of the globe has doubled. We are twice as many, more than twice as many people now living in this world than when I was born, like 50 years ago. And so we cannot just keep going the way we did, because people sometimes tend to say, well, we've always done it this way. And why is this such a big subject now? It's such a big, why do we have to recycle our plastic bottles? Why do we have to? Because it's twice as many people now. And twice as many people make more than twice as much, if we're honest, waste, because a whole packaging or whatever has become way more wasteful. But this is the fact. We're in different times now. And we need to deal with the times we're in. Yeah.
So
I hope that answered your question. I'm not sure.
Sure. Perfect. So I have one final challenge for you, and it's very close to the last question, but you only have 30 seconds for an answer.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
So you have to convince a skeptical student why they should care about sustainability, as I said, under 30 seconds.
I would just remind them that we just live in different times. Planetary boundaries have been crossed. The atmosphere has changed a lot in the last decades. Waste is so much part of our environment. There's twice as many people living on the earth. We just have to face realities. And that's, I think, just what I would try to encourage them, just to look the problem in the eye instead of looking away.
I do love that indeed, because it's just a reality, isn't it? It's not like a theoretical term that we like to discuss at universities, but it's the reality that is out there, and we have to live this life on this planet that we have. So it's not just theoretical assumptions.
Exactly. Sometimes people think that, oh, it's just the educated elite that thinks about these kind of things. No, it's a reality that affects all of us. The warmer climate affects all of us, especially here in the middle of Europe.
Yeah.
You can ask anyone my age and they'll tell you, yeah, you know what? Climate has really changed. We really feel it. It's not just a number. It's not just a theory. It's not a political thought. It is reality. And we have to deal with it. And just dealing with the symptoms is never good. If you want to draw an analogy to medical issues, if you really only deal with the symptoms, you're not making any progress and things will probably just get worse. You know, you have to deal with the causes. And
So I would like to encourage our listeners to maybe also think about their personal sustainability pledge.
Yes.
Do you have any encouraging words for that?
Yes. Think about something. It is worthwhile. It is worthwhile. Like anything in life that's worthwhile, it might be annoying at some point when you're standing at the bakery and, oh, I forgot my cup again. But in the end, it's worth it. And just think about your life and just be encouraged. A small step can bring us in the right direction. A small step, you know, made me come here and started studying this program. And a small step can really bring you in a better direction towards a better life. Absolutely.
Perfect. Steve, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And that's it for our visit to the Sustainability Café. Thank you for your interest in sustainability at IMC Krems. You can find this and all other episodes at imcsustainabilitycafe.podigy.io. The podcast is produced by the IMC Krems Media Lab. If you have any feedback or questions, feel free to send them to sustainability@imc.ac.at. I'd be super happy if you tune in to our other episodes as well. See you soon. Bye.